Have you been exploring your spirituality and learning more about yourself? And now you're ready to take bold, positive action. Are you seeking clarity about what is really blocking you from your greatest potential? Do you feel like you're so close to a breakthrough, but you can't figure out why you continue to feel stuck at the same level? Join us now for Real Talk with Joyce and Jennifer, two transformational coaches who are eager to share all they've learned over the many years they've each been working with clients, helping them create the life they want. Joyce and Jennifer both have extensive, diverse backgrounds in the art of conscious transformation, and they are here to help you. So tune in now for the insight and tools you need to consciously live, work, and play so that you can live the life you most deeply long to experience.
Hi, Joyce here. Welcome to Real Talk with Joyce and Jennifer. I'm a transformational coach, life purpose facilitator, mind-body teacher who guides clients to live their most joyful, courageous, and authentic lives.
Hey everyone, it's Jennifer, and I'm a transformational coach, facilitator, and consultant, which basically means I transform the mentality of leaders so that their entire staff and corporate culture can shift toward higher purpose. But most importantly, as we all know, I'm a mom.
So before we begin today to discuss ego to essence, which is a very interesting subject that Jennifer and I are really going to dig into, let's take a minute to be mindful of what is happening in California with the wildfires. You know, we're all in the midst of a very turbulent times of deep transformation for our Mother Earth and for each soul that walks on her belly. You know, I understand that many people want to cocoon in and hide out, but it just is not possible. We must continue to stand up for what we believe needs to change in us and in the world. So the poem I'm going to read is from Rumi. It's called Don't Go to Sleep, one of my favorites. Don't go to sleep. The breezes at dawn have secrets to tell you. Don't go back to sleep. You must ask for what you really want. Don't go back to sleep. People are going back and forth across the door sill where the two worlds touch. The door is round and open. Don't go back to sleep.
That's beautiful, Rumi. Joyce. And, you know,
thank you.
Rumi always reminds us of who we really are, right? So thanks for sharing that. And, you know, Joyce, it just seems like every week we're observing a new and massive natural catastrophe, and it's just tragic. And then on top of it, we have what happened in Las Vegas, which isn't natural. But I am hoping that today's show, and all of our shows for that matter, help us all move through this era, which I wholeheartedly believe is an era of transformation, that we can move through it with greater grace and ease, because it's tough for a lot of people right now. So speaking of today's topic, moving from ego to essence, it's a favorite of mine, and for lots of reasons. First of all, I think there are a lot of misunderstandings about the ego, its purpose, why it plays such a big role in our lives, and how to handle it. And then second, as we can see everywhere we look, the ego has an enormous impact on our lives. Coming from my line of work, there is a tremendous negative impact when a leader misuses his or her influence and power because their ego is more invested than their higher self. And finally, because of all of the above, it's crucial that we all learn how to work with our own ego so that we don't fall prey to the types of negative behaviors that our egos can convince us to exhibit. We only sabotage our own success and happiness when we do this. And as challenging as it is to be our most authentic selves, we really, really must try to do so. Our essence is our gift to the world. When we become too scared to be vulnerable enough to expose who we really are, we not only fail to live out our highest purpose, but we deny ourselves and everyone around us our true greatness. We minimize our worth by falling prey to our fear. We damage, if not destroy, our most cherished relationships. And ultimately, we significantly compromise our overall well-being. And so I think today's topic is just crucial.
Yes, I totally agree. So our conversation today is delving deep into the unconscious, where we are exploring the shift of identity from the ego to the essence. But before we move into this direction, let's kind of recap what we've covered so far in our shows. You know, we previously discussed the importance of living from your purpose, discovering your authentic real self. We've discussed how one goes about finding or remembering your purpose, how to start making changes to live from purpose, and the five steps to get clarity on transformational living. We've had dialogue about understanding your divine partnership, spirituality, and faith, and had a session on the importance of creating a vision for your life path. And Jennifer pulled together all of the life purpose information in her interview that she had, her transformational coaching with one of her guest clients. And last week, Jennifer was not here, so I interviewed Melody LeBaron. And so we started a conversation on loss and grief, which is one of the many emotional issues and obstacles that we will meet along the way on our life journey. You know, we will discuss many of these issues in the coming weeks. These are the emotions and feelings and patterns that, if they're not cleared, can keep us stuck in fear, ambivalence, and remorse.
And given the madness of the times we're living in, many of us have lived through trauma, crises, and hardship. So if not dealt with properly, loss and grief can take us down in times like this. So thank you, Joyce, for covering that topic last week while I was gone. It's just such an important issue. And thanks also for the recap. Hopefully we have some listeners who've been following all along. For those of you that have just joined us, we'd love for you to download any of our previous episodes. And you can access those podcasts through the Om Times Radio website or through our Real Talk with Joyce and Jennifer Facebook page. So let's get on with the topic of the day. Let's start with the ego.
Absolutely. So I think many people are confused about the ego, and so we're trying to get some clarity in a simplified way, because the ego can be very complex if you dig at it through the psychological aspects, which we're not. We're doing the down and dirty kind of, what is the ego? So every day each of us wakes up, makes decisions, accomplishes tasks, thinks, eats, and so on. We experience desires, fears, reactions. These things are all normal, the everyday things of life. The part of us that does these things, that has the thoughts and feelings, is called the ego. And ego is Latin for I. So that's what ego is, I. When you say, I want lunch, I want a car, I feel angry, I want that. This is also called your persona, our personality self. So if we identify with our thoughts and emotions, we believe that we are a separate person, the ego. And isn't that what's going on in the world right now? So all of the thoughts, feelings, and memories that don't match your belief system are edited out by the ego and relegated to another part of your psyche that is called the unconscious, subconscious, or the shadow. So there's lots of stuff down in the unconscious. Some of it we'll bring up in our lifetime, and others, things we will never bring up, and maybe we don't want to. So Dr. Frank Waldner, who has written a beautiful article on the ego, says the truth is that we are the embodiment of life. We're born into this world as a result of a miracle, and later we are lost amidst all the multitude of teachings and dogma. After identifying with our beliefs and core wounds, we forget who we really are, who the person born in us into the world in order to experience existence and get acquainted with all the teachings. We forget who we are. And we can understand that, how that happens.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Can I understand what he's saying? Oh, goodness. So, and, you know, it's also reflective of the notion that who we are and who we think we should be oftentimes conflict with one another. I know I've worked hard on this and in my own path, and I also work with clients regularly on this issue. I like to think of the proverbial midlife crisis as time in our lives where those two worlds within us collide, and we have to then consciously decide who we really are, what we really believe, and then rectify that within ourselves. we're challenged to pull up what's lying in that subconscious to our conscious mind and take an inventory of all of that inner conflict. And then we have to choose what's authentic. Once we see who we really are, which is a process in and of itself, we often have to then wrestle with it for a while before we're ready to embrace our authentic selves. So I just believe that's because of the lifelong conditioning from societal, religious, and family beliefs that may very well contradict our most authentic selves. It's sort of like the child within us who's been seeking the parents' approval for a lifetime finally becomes the adult and chooses to break free from this sense of entrapment in order to live freely as he or she was born to do and to be. And usually that sense of entrapment is actually the inner struggle, which just creates the illusion that the people who love us the most won't accept who we really are. When we learn to embrace our true essence, though, we often find that everyone around us actually does love us for who we really are. We just have to get comfortable with it first. So, you know, I just like to remind people to remember that the world around us is a mirror. It simply shows us where we are in the evolution within. And when we shift inside of ourselves, the world's response to us shifts congruently with that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. So the ego, just to go back to define it a little bit more, the ego is the central figure of our personal history. It's based on the past and it looks into the future. The ego contains everything you know about yourself, your thoughts, your feelings, your fears, your loss, grief, beliefs, and wounds. So the components of the ego, all those things are contained in the ego and parts of it. So these components of the ego with which the person identifies as that's my story. All this is my story as if it's the real story. And it's part of the real story, but not the deepest part of it. So it's also part of the ego, the component. We'll be right back and continue with the ego.
Conscious Lifestyle on Steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
Have you or someone you love ever experienced a major loss? The kind of loss so cataclysmic that it divided life into before and after. The death of a beloved person or pet, the loss of a job, a health challenge, can leave us feeling empty, lost, alone, wondering if we'll ever feel joy again. Loss is universal. Grief is part of the human condition. But in our modern world, we've lost the ability to understand, share, and integrate our grief. We're expected to grieve privately and quickly get over it. This November 3rd through 5th, the Atlanta Grief and Loss Center will be hosting a retreat that will allow you to fully feel, integrate, and catalyze your grief. Our retreat is called Heartbroken Open, Grief as a Sacred Path to Renewal and Rebirth. If you are grieving, or if you work with clients who are grieving, you'll find more information about this powerful retreat at atlantagriefandlosscenter.com/retreats or call 404-881-1322.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Welcome back. So let's continue with talking about the ego. I'll just pick up from where I was talking about the components of the ego. And one of those identifies with what we call my story, the story of my life. And I think that's why it's important at some point in your life that maybe you rewrite that story and look at it a little bit differently, because the story you were told of your life or the way maybe you saw it as a child might not be the truth it really is. So that's just something, you know, to think about. But that's the story that the ego likes to keep in there, so we'll stay safe with it. So, you know, most people completely identify with these components of the ego. And for them, there's no self outside of this that actually exists. And one of the most important strategies for the ego is to sustain and reinforce itself is the experience of I am right. This is the identification of an idea, a position, or evaluation. Nothing gives the ego more power than experiencing that I'm right, she's wrong, I'm right. And boy, do I know that one, because that just happened to me not too long ago, where I got in the middle of it, and I'm saying, I am in the middle of it right now. And this is a story that I'm telling to myself that is not real. So I know that one very well. And so, you know, Eckhart Tolle says in his opinion that the most important of the functions of the ego is, number one, that the ego strives to protect, sustain, and expand itself and its role, and the ego functions in survival mode. And we know that to be true.
Yes, absolutely. And it's so funny when you talk about the story of the I am right. I think a lot of people would probably agree that when we look at American politics and we sit there and watch the lawmakers debate so publicly and so, you know, overtly negative, you know, I'm always walking around going, I wish they were more invested in doing what's right instead of being right.
Yes.
Everyone wants to just be right and not really look at how that's impacting others negatively. But anyway, that's, I could go on that soapbox. But the ego absolutely does play an important role. And I do think, like, you know, what I was describing and making fun of American politics right now, it's an easy target, but we all like to roll our eyes and make fun of others' egos when we see an overt display of it, right? The overt display of the conceit and the condescension. And I want to touch briefly on that strive to protect phrase, because what I think is super important to understand is the necessity for us to learn how to differentiate when we have legitimate cause to protect ourselves and when our ego is simply playing to our neurologically driven beliefs. You know, because you touched on it, the ego plays important roles, and we've got to be smart enough to differentiate what is the good part of it and what's not. And so I like to think of our brains and these particular neural pathways as our operating system. You know, the brain's just like a computer. It will produce exactly what its operating system is wired to produce. If there are deeply embedded beliefs in there, the ego will kick in to protect those beliefs at all costs. And this is why I warn clients all the time, listen to your gut. It will never lie. Your brain, on the other hand, will absolutely lie to you all day, every day, just to get you to stay in that comfort zone. So why is that? Well, because it's just reacting to those beliefs, which we have to remember are oftentimes the conditioned beliefs, not our most authentic, consciously chosen beliefs. So the idea is, if you don't like what you're experiencing in life, don't look around you for answers, look within, because what lies you're listening to in your head, you need to figure out what's causing you to react to perceived threats as opposed to real ones. We have to learn how to navigate the nuances of our ego so that we can be more empowered to leverage our greatest potential and well-being, and not let the power and the intricacies of our brains to take charge in ways that actually sabotage our success and well-being. So we want to try to learn to develop that skill, and let's talk about, you know, more of that.
Jennifer,
but,
you know,
I know that you want to touch on the function.
I do. I just wanted to say what you just said is so powerful, because most people seem to me that they think very negatively of the ego. And I think that's because maybe that's how it's been taught in schools or in psychology classes, or just in general, maybe sometimes with spiritual teachers, that it's really not true. I mean, there are some wonderful functions, and so I'm going to talk about that. Let's just talk about the functions of the ego that are really powerful and really sort of why the ego is, you know, has the abilities that it has. So the first one is the ego has very important functions. It establishes and maintains our identity. And as we go through life, we develop certain beliefs and opinions about ourselves. We create answers to the questions that we're asking. Who am I? Why am I here? So these answers come from things our parents and teachers taught us, our interactions with other people, with feedback, insults, compliments, successes, failures. All this input gives you a sense of your identity. And some's real, some's not so real. The second one is interpreting information from the world around you is another very important function of the ego. We're always receiving far more information than the brain can possibly process, and we need to filter the enormous flow of information. So the ego filters and interprets the data it receives in a way to reinforce your sense of identity. It filters out information that does not agree with your belief system. And this is a critical aspect of what it does. This goes on all the time, and there's really nothing wrong with it. This is the functioning of a healthy ego. Thirdly, the ego is responsible for our safety. It's responsible for keeping us alive and healthy. It keeps you from walking in front of a car, you know, insulting your boss and getting you fired. It also is responsible for helping you get your needs met, and the most basic, of course, are our survival needs of air, food, water, and shelter. And then when that is done, your ego will move from the basic needs. The ego turn its attention to things like having fun, learning, experiencing, you know, getting expense, maybe getting a house you want, or a vacation, and it continues on with you. Whatever you want, it likes those big things. You know, it likes a bigger house, a bigger car, you know, going to the best school. Those are, you know, something the ego can really get into. So your ego is the part that experiences these needs. Again, it's interpreting it from you. It thinks you need this, and so it's trying to give it to you. And it takes actions to get your needs met. So these are some critical functions of the ego.
Yes, and all of that is so important to understand, so that we can, you know, stop labeling it as just this negative thing. It can take us on a very negative ride if we give it the, you know, the pathway to do that. But let's emphasize again that the fact that the ego isn't all bad. Let's think of the ego in terms of power for a minute. Often popular belief says that power belongs to anyone in a leadership position. Well, as a leadership consultant, I challenge this notion extensively. We all have power. Every one of our brains has enormous power. What are we doing with it, though? Just like everything in life, there exists both a blessing and a curse. And that beautiful notion of relativity, again, that I always bring up, ensuring that our free will determines light or dark, good or bad. We have our most authentic power, which is a reflection or exercise of our essence. That part of us that is comprised of love. The authentic power is the ability to exercise pure intention. It's the understanding and conscious intention that we all win in life, that we all actually want good, And the abuse of power is the decision to take all that energy and all that intelligence and act from the fear within. It's attached to the belief that if you win, I must lose. And therefore, I'm going to make decisions and take actions in a manner that protects me. So the latter example is what's usually labeled as the ego, when really it's just a display of when the ego is attached to a negative, disempowered belief system within. The ego is just functioning. It's just doing its function. It's really on us to go deeper and look at those beliefs that it's operating from.
Wow, that is so true. You know, that's right. And so the ego does have several, but it does have several disadvantages. And one, the major one for me and had been for working with clients is this one, that it resists growth and transformation. It does not like change. Remember, it prefers to stay the same and have a little change because, again, it's trying to put safety on. And this can be part of what comes up, but for the ego. So the ego is not really bad. It's just unconscious. And we have to remember that. It is an unconscious part of us that, interestingly, as we evolve, it'll be interesting to see how the ego actually evolves. But as our feelings and emotions evolve, I suspect that the ego is going to take on some different roles. So let's talk about clearing a path through the ego, which is what we really want. So, you know, I started working on my life purpose several years ago to get more clarity and to create a vision. And I soon realized that I was experiencing a lot of resistance that I didn't expect. Because after all, wasn't I doing the right thing? Wasn't I moving forward with what I was supposed to be doing in life? So, you know, I felt clear that my soul was supporting me to move forward to leave my nursing practice that I had at the time, but my ego was waking me up at night in a cold sweat of fear. You know, I knew that my soul's responsibilities are very different from my ego's. The soul is not concerned with preserving your identity or your day-to-day safety and needs. It's charged with entirely different things. The soul is the keeper. We'll be right back and talk some more about clearing your path.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Depleted by the rat race? Depressed by the attitudes of the human race? The book Honor explains why and how to transform your life from confusion and heartache to one that you most authentically desire. Join Om Times Radio host Jennifer McKenna Weinbaum as she takes you on her journey from her darkest period to her happiest and healthiest life. Entertaining, enlightening, Honor will help you find and maintain the love and light in your own life. Visit www.universalabundance.com to pre-order your copy.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Listen, my life changed because someone was there to get me to use drugs. No one can understand. People think that having someone who will listen makes it better. I need help.
I'm listening.
I need help. I think that having someone who will listen makes it better. People understand. No one can get me to use drugs. My life changed because someone was there to listen.
Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to turn addiction around. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
So welcome back. And I'm going to go back to repeat some of it because it's really important, the difference here of the functions between the ego and the soul. So I want to again say the ego is not bad, it's just unconscious. So let's talk about clearing a path through the ego. So, you know, I was saying that I had started working on my life path several years ago to get more clarity because I was moving into some different areas and was certainly moving out of nursing. And I soon realized that as much as I wanted this, that I was experiencing a lot of resistance. And at first, I just like, what is going on here? So I felt clear that my soul was supporting me because I had done work with my soul around my higher self, around moving into another area. So I felt that my soul was really supporting me to move forward to leave my practice. But my ego was waking me up at night, as I said, in a cold sweat. And that was going on a lot. And like, what is happening here? And I knew that my soul's responsibilities are very different from the ego's. The soul is not concerned with preserving your identity or your day-to-day safety and needs. It's charged with entirely different things. And here's some of the things. The soul is the keeper of your purpose. It knows everything about you, who you are, including all the things that you've disowned about yourself and forgotten and don't want to remember. It knows what you are meant to do and when you're meant to do it. The soul is charged with your growth and development. It's not concerned about how much money you make or whether you like your job. It may move you toward difficult situations to help you learn or experience a certain situation. Your soul is trying to develop you in a very specific way that serves your purpose. And, you know, this can be very confusing for the ego, who is usually trying to avoid pain and failure at any cost and being right again. And so it's sort of here caught up in the middle of all this, not knowing what's going on. And the third thing is the soul is responsible for steering you along the path. You know, there might be many paths that lead to your purpose, and your soul does not really care which path you're on because it knows you're ultimately going to work on your purpose, or you refuse to work on your purpose, and that's something that you won't do in this lifetime. So, Jennifer, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I mean, we should let that sink in for a second because I think these are such critical insights. And, you know, there's so much on this that I just want to dig deeper into than we have time for today. But each of us, you know, has a soul and an ego, among other things, like a physical body, of course. But, you know, for the sake of understanding what it means to move from ego to essence, we really want to stress the fact that it's not really a choice of one or the other. And it doesn't have to be an inner war between your ego and your soul either, but oftentimes we allow it to be, because I think that it's also important to note that, you know, because the ego's concern is to keep us safe, it's going to shout really loudly in our heads when we try to take the risks mm-hmm. that the soul's path requires. Yes. So, but I do want to say again that unless you want it to be an inner struggle, it doesn't have to be. And I think that's both the challenge and the opportunity for all of us. It means that if we want to live our most conscious, authentic, purposeful lives, it's up to us to understand the purposes and intentions of both the soul and the ego in order to then consciously exercise our free will and then consciously choose to align the two within ourselves. You know, I think inner alignment is, you know, oftentimes when I'm in the workplace, I talk about integrity, and there are a lot of brand strategists out there that talk about brand integrity. And I like to touch on it in more of this type of spirit, in that, you know, whatever the alignment is within you as a leader, what you're thinking, what you're saying, what you're feeling, and what you're doing, that they're aligned, right? I think alignment's such a, mm-hmm. an important part of the objective here. And so I think that, you know, this is, it is like the powerful process of transformation. It's precisely what you and I do as coaches, Joyce, you know, and I stress the word process. In order to align your ego with your purpose or your soul, as you say, which I love, there is work involved. mm-hmm. You have to first become conscious of those hardwired beliefs within you. And then you have to choose the beliefs that you want to keep and the ones that you want to replace, right? So that's when you go in and you start to mine away at what were the beliefs that I was just raised to believe that kind of were deeply embedded into my belief system because that was the society in which I lived, that was the community in which I lived, that was the, you know, religious establishment in which I was raised. There's all those beliefs that are deeply embedded that you're operating from, that your ego is operating from, and then there's other beliefs that you've taken on consciously over time as you've grown and as you've aged. And it's important to go in and recognize all of them so that you choose what ones you want your ego to operate from. So, you know, that's when we go about the business of taking action from mm-hmm. our new belief system, because it's in the action when we actually develop new neural pathways. And the more we can develop mm-hmm. those new neural pathways that are in alignment with our new beliefs, then that is the process of aligning the ego with the soul. And it is, I cannot Absolutely. Stress this enough, it is a process.
Yes, it is. Boy, is it. And I'd say it's one of the major things that you and I do, and it takes time to do this. This is not yes. something you do on a weekend. To me, it's really hard to even do it by yourself because – again, you don't see always the truth. It's really hard to see where you're blindsided, where you don't see what's happening with you. And so it's really much easier to me to actually hire a coach or somebody who's used to doing this, used to seeing and listening to what you're talking about. So I'd say that this is what I found, that once your ego gets the idea that you're getting ready to make a change, like finding your purpose, it usually gets very nervous. Your ego resists resistance to knowing you are getting ready to know your purpose is really one of your number one obstacles. And if you do not work with your ego's resistance when making changes around purpose, it will be exceedingly difficult, if not impossible, that I've seen. And I believe this is, from what I've seen with my clients and myself, I believe that this is the number one reason most people do not work and live from their purpose. I see it every day. People want to, and you know they want to. They maybe have taken a class. They're ready to do it, but they just don't do it. I mean, they just don't mm-hmm. do it. So there are many different ways in clearing doubt and limiting beliefs. And so trying to ignore or overcome your fears will not work. If it did, we would do it. If it did, people would be doing something mm-hmm. different than saying they don't like your work. So one of the best and simplest ways is to deal directly with your fears. And this is one of, I'd say the beginning ones that I deal with is just to write down all the fears. If you're with a client, write down all their fears and reservations that they have about living their purpose or starting a business. And you ask them, what could go wrong? What is the worst thing that could happen? And you keep asking that question. What is the worst thing that could happen? They come up with that. Well, what's underneath that? What's the worst thing that could happen? You know, and so you get to the bottom of their thoughts. And you have to have a direct conversation with the part of the ego that is fearful. And you have to be careful that you're not actually talking to the ego who's giving you information back. But if you have a practice where you actually talk to your higher purpose, to the divine, to something that's outside of yourself that's higher, that's who you have the conversation with. You definitely don't want to ask the ego these questions, because you're not going to get the answers that you really want. So You know, when I teach my life purpose boot camp, which I'll be doing in January, I go into great detail of this particular subject, and we talk about various ways to deal with resistance, because it is extremely important to understand what is happening and develop your own ways of dealing with resistance, because it comes up all the time and we all experience it pretty much all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And oftentimes, you know, anything related to change is going to evoke that response, yeah, that resistance, because it's a neural trigger for our survival mode. It's stress inducing. Mm-hmm. Change itself, you know, it embodies the unknown, and the brain hates the unknown. It often triggers mm-hmm. a fight or flight response because of it. And so once those neural circuits start to run their course, they evoke a biochemical response that sends every part of your body into this experience. That's when the anxiety comes up, and the grief, and the terror, and the rage. It's almost like I can just see us whipping in this torrential storm, but we each respond differently based on our past traumas and the many memory downloads in our brains that get integrated in all this crazy wiring. So when I think about this madness inside of us, I usually get a visual of this drawer I have, where I have kept all these obscure wires that I've been given over the years. There's phone chargers and HDMI cables, extension cords, you name it. It's just this terrible drawer. And they all get jumbled up in, you know, to the point where I can't tell what's what anymore. Heaven forbid I ever need one of these, because it would take me a day just to untangle the mess. And so, you know, but it's a good analogy for how our brains send us mixed messages during times mm-hmm. of change, because all of this memory, all this trauma, everything's coming in, the need for the ego to resist and keep you safe, and it's all going bells and whistles inside of you. And so I think that, you know, to your point, Joyce, I think that's why it's so crucial to understand that it's so difficult, if not impossible, to do this alone. You know, I think whether anybody was going to hire either of us or somebody on our team or other coaches out there, it's mm-hmm. just getting one is so crucial. It becomes a tangled mess inside of us, and we all need someone mm-hmm. skilled and objective to be able to navigate it and help us unravel it. So we'll talk about more about ego to essence when we return.
The best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Chris, you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2.
There's your comic book collection, the race car bed.
I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I'm taking control over my financial life, and that feels pretty grown up to me.
Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Are those footy pajamas?
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. And I just wanted to say, Jennifer, I've got one of those drawers, too, with all those wires. And And thanks for your ears and things that hooked into your computer like years ago. I keep them all in there. I have no idea. I open them up and then show it back because I don't even know what to do with them. But yes, that's a great, that's a really good example of what happens with your brain. So, so let's talk about how do we then consciously shift from the ego to our essence of who we really are? Well, we're both ego and essence, not to say that's not who we really are. It's just a higher level of who we really are. So that we're trying to transform to, move to right now on this planet for all of us. So we know that we cannot create transformational change from the same energy that it was created from, which is usually a lower energy or an energy from a long time ago that might have been higher, but it's probably not now. So the key to begin is by keeping your attention on the highest frequency of your being so that you can bring forth. And the idea is that you live your life from a place that lifts you and others, and you're bringing your mind, body, spirit into harmony with your highest frequency. So this is a way that I have done this, and this actually, this process is actually from Barbara Marks Hubbard, who's an evolutionist and has been really talking about what's going on the planet now for years. And at least 10 years ago, I studied with her and we were discussing this at what point we really were. So this is one of her things that she did every day. So this process is done by bringing our awareness into our hearts, by simply breathing into the general area of our heart. So the first thing we may notice is the feelings of, might be joy, might be sadness, might be some physical sensations like tightness or tenderness. So we acknowledge these as we continue to breathe and focus, listening attentively. This is the silence of the heart. And the more we listen for it, return to it, and accept it, the more we bathe and purify ourselves in the soundless center of our being, our heart. So you can see, feel, or imagine the energy in your body, around you. First of all, it's ascending or going up from the bottom of your feet, directed into your egoic self and reaching into the heart where personal essence lives. And then you see the descending energy, which is coming down, going through the brain, coming down into the heart, where these two are meeting in the heart. And generating, what's happening is this is generating a strong master field that can hold the frequency of our whole system, our mind, body, and spirit, which is really what we're trying to do now, to bring all this together in a powerful way that we can transform all of this. From the center in the heart, you can begin to listen, to ask questions that are related to your next steps. So it might be questions like, what wants to happen? Not what do I want, but what wants to happen? Who is that asking me to be? What part of me is asking you to show up? That might be, what needs to show up? Do I need courage? What do I need to move to get through this right now? What needs to be done? What actions need to be taken? So be compassionate with yourself during this time. You're really taking a monumental leap. This process takes time, as we've talked about, but well worth the effort to evoke the egoic self. And what Barbara used to talk about is, you have it fall in love with your essence, our higher self. Or at least we will get the ego to agree to compromise and not feel so left out and out of control with any situation that comes up. You know, any situation that comes up, you can ask these questions daily around anything. So
that's fabulous, Joyce. I love that exercise. And I think, The way you talk about the ego, you know, having it fall in love with the essence, I've never thought of it that way, but it's so great because the ego really, it will unleash its full potential more when it's left in isolation, right? So you want to bring it back in and nurture it, make it feel warm and welcome and loved and safe. So that, how great to think about falling in love with your essence. All right. So because I'm in the workplace so often and not necessarily in a position to talk quite so esoterically, I do find that a lot of people resist meditation and visualization, like what you're talking about, and they're such powerful tools. Mm-hmm. So I'm always promoting them anyway. I think they're so crucial. But I think a lot of people don't do it simply because they believe they aren't good at it. So talking about that ego. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think maybe some people picture a yogi or a monk who's able to sit in deep meditation for long periods of time, and that is intimidating. You know, and I think maybe others have never done yoga and they associate the two and then they tell themselves it's just not who they are. And then I think some of us, I know for myself, life is just so busy and that you just simply forget to do it. But whatever it is, I think the example, the exercise that you bring is it's so great. It's so simple. It's so powerful. But it's just another example of how our ego likes to keep us in whatever belief or habitual cycle it is that we've been living in. It likes that safety can sometimes be found in habit. It's the comfort zone. I know what's coming next, so I don't have to. And so pushing ourselves to do meditation and visualization is just learning another skill, you know, and sure, it can become a skill that we want to hone. No doubt about it. I know I could definitely practice more of it myself and sharpen my skills, but there's no time like the present to simply start the practice of just quieting our minds. If we all began by giving ourselves just 5 quiet minutes each day, that I believe in and of itself would become a small, simple way to instigate a much larger, powerful shift within us. You know, so for those who are just not accustomed to doing what we deem these simple exercises, just thinking about that, just making that small commitment to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree, Jennifer, and you just feel so much better. I mean, I think that's the outcome of doing this 5 minutes a day, stopping, being mindful, you know, like every hour or something, just being mindful. What's going on? What's going on in my head right now? Let me just stop for a minute, breathe. It's not complicated. It's really little steps can really, you know, really do a lot for your brain and for your body. So, so let's do a quick review of what we've covered today. We've defined the ego and talked about its function, what its responsibilities are for and how important they are. We've touched on the importance of understanding the soul's purpose and how the ego can often come in conflict with our life purpose.
Which is where the real work is, right? We talked about that. Yep. So we also described how it plays out, what to look out for. And then, you know, just now we ended with Joyce, you giving us a fantastic simple exercise that can help everyone get centered in their essence. And so I think, just to touch on that a little bit more, I think intention setting is extremely powerful. Mm-hmm. It's a powerful process of that mindfulness. Intention is happening whether we're conscious of it or not. And it's for us to really think about how this is playing out. Is our intention coming from our ego or is it coming from our soul? How do we start to consciously navigate that? How do we start to consciously understand that? And I think one of the simplest, best ways to do that is just in those, if we're going to commit to 5 minutes of quiet time, during that time, we can also just simply state what we intend for our day or what we intend to exude, who we intend to allow ourselves to be that day. You know, and little by little, allowing our authentic selves to be a little bit more courageous every day in our expression of who we are, in our ability to go for the win-win, in our ability to honor ourselves and each other equally. you know, just little things like that in our mindfulness, mm-hmm. our mindful practices, I think go a long, long way. And you know, I'm sure in upcoming shows we'll be talking more about the power of intention, but I think it goes completely along with what we've talked about today.
Absolutely. So if you have any questions about today's show, reach out to us. You can find us on Facebook, or you can go to either of our websites, joycedillon.com or jmacconsulting.com. And we'd really love to hear from you. Any questions you have, any subjects you want to talk about. We're starting to plan for our next episodes coming up. And so we'd love to hear from you.
Yes, we would. And as a reminder, if you're an individual who is ready to explore your purpose and live out more fully, you know, and healthy and just live out your best life, contact Joyce. She is a phenomenal coach to help you grow in your evolution of your reaching your greatest potential and your happiness and health. But if you're in a leadership role and you want to be the best leader you can be, give me a shout. But regardless, we're both here to help you. I mean, this is the whole reason why we do the show. And we cut out time each week from our crazy schedules, you know, not to completely paint the picture of my story, but, you know, I'm that typical single mom, working mother. I always say that's why my hair's curly. But we're here to help you, so reach out.
Yes.
Don't forget, and sign up for the Loss and Grief Retreat.
Yes. Check out the previous podcast on Loss and Grief Workshop coming up November the 3rd. And so until next week, be well.
Yes, and thank you for tuning in.